You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. A reminder that today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friends trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. And you can also download Locked On Fantasy Football on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On Fantasy Football using Himalaya. And we talked on the previous show about the mock draft that did there with Fantasy Pros, looking at the expert consensus rankings. We went through the picks kind of one by one, then collectively as a round through 1 through 4. We said we were going to break it down all the way through 17 rounds, and that means we're going to look at rounds 5 through 8 and then close with the back half of the draft and the final two shows of the week. So a lot of stuff to get to here. We had a lot of good stuff to talk about there. We had 4 quarterbacks, kind of a start that trend there as we got into wide receiver 2s and running back 2s there in the draft. Now we go into round 5, and when people around the industry look at rounds 5 through 8, this is the core. This is where you make your biggest hay, because everyone knows in the early rounds who's kind of ranked high. There's some consistency there at wide receiver. You know the running backs, if they stay healthy, you're going to get a certain amount of production of the quarterbacks. What you see is what you get there with a lot of those guys in that top tier. But now this is where you look for the best sleeper picks and guys that can really outproduce their draft position here. And this is where you have to think a little bit more about upside and then figure out how your portfolio is shaping up. If you've got a few safe picks early, you might want to take a risk on a younger player or a situation with a guy that is undervalued, maybe coming off injury or disappointment where some people are already off them. You want to be aggressive. If you think he's going to be the man this season, go after him and just don't sit back and say, oh, I'm going to take this guy because he did something last year. You want a guy that's going to do something for you this year, and this is this opportunity in rounds 5 through 8. So we've set that part of it up. Now let's dive into it. Last pick we had was Stephon Diggs in this particular mock draft there, as we kind of get to that borderline wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2. And I think Diggs makes a lot of sense there. I think there's an argument where Diggs is a better value at wide receiver 1 there than Adam Thielen. And with Tyreek Hill, I think that could also move Stephon Diggs to in that strong wide receiver 1 position. Now, when you go to wide receiver 2, I think Robert Woods is kind of the poster player for that, where he's the first pick of the 5th round. That's who I got there. So I look at Saquon Barkley with my first pick. You get some good value here in the 3 wide receivers. Barkley allows you to go a little bit more versatile with that pick, and once you get a back like that, you can have a luxury such as the George Kittle pick and T.Y. Hilton, that combo there on the turn, and then go from there to Diggs and Woods. So I really like Diggs. Woods is solid here. I'm happy with that 3 wide receiver grouping there that you look at overall. Now, the next pick was Cooper Kupp, and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are pretty close here. Kupp had a lot of touchdowns. He was on his way to a big season doing that before he tore his ACL. So the ACL, a little bit of concern there, but Woods and Kupp, I think, to me, are better values than Brandon Cooks reaching for him in the 4th round, where Cooks doesn't score as much. Woods, I think, is a better yardage play and more consistent, while Kupp has been key in scoring touchdowns in short range for Jared Goff. And I think Goff really feels more comfortable with Kupp. And a lot of Cooks' production, the bulk of it, the big games, came after Cup went down. So I think it's a Woods, Cup pecking order, and Cooks. Just being the flashy player, he's a little bit harder to rely upon there. The next pick was Chris Carson, and this is where you dive into that situation. We talked about it. After Josh Jacobs, you got into Aaron Jones, Kerryon Johnson. You felt good about them. Devontae Freeman to a degree as well. Mark Ingram. Now you start to get those power timeshare type things. Chris Carson does have Rashad Penny behind him. I think there's a lot of appeal for Chris Carson, but they did use a first round pick on Penny, and Mike Davis is gone. So it's a two-man committee there. They'll lean on the run a little bit more, but Carson also has a bit of an injury history there. And I think I'd rather go for someone with the upside. We'll talk about it, that player next. Now here's a player here in the fourth pick of round five that you look at. Kenny Golladay, the arrow is pointing up for him. You look at the vacated targets. Golden Tate, yeah, he was gone at the end of last year, but they replaced him with Danny Amendola. TJ Hawkinson, the rookie first-round tight end, will also have a part in this offense, but Golladay looks the part of a number one. That's what you want. And when you look at Golladay, again, Woods and Kupp are there, but Golladay, to me, has a upside as a clear-cut number one in Detroit. And some people will be on Marvin Jones and think this is somewhat even with that position. But no, I think clearly Golladay is the guy with the upside and uptick and going up for it. Now you look at the next pick is Darius Geis. I think this is a little early coming off an ACL. The Redskins offense could really struggle here. I know their offensive line is pretty good. But in a team in transition with Dwayne Haskins and or Case Keenum at quarterback, not sure what their wide receiver and tight end situation will shake out to be reliable or not. The guys could really find some tough sledding. I get it. The volume is potential there. They were talking about a big role, but they do have Adrian Peterson hanging around for insurance and maybe not going to put a lot of guys, and we'll have to see what his progress is. And if we get a better report going into camp that guys is fully healthy, then he's going to jump up a little bit and might have more appeal than a guy like Aaron Jones or Kerryon Johnson. When you look at the new offensive coordinators there in Green Bay and Detroit, maybe their roles will change a little bit. Well, you know that Jay Gruden wants to use a lot of Darius Geis, and Geis definitely would have more appeal if he's fully healthier than Chris Carson or even Mark Ingram, because they could treat him as a complete back there. But for now, we have to proceed with caution. Now, Sammy Watkins is going up the boards pretty quickly here with Tyreek Hill, and that makes a lot of sense because Chris Conley is also gone. They need some familiar target for Patrick Mahomes to throw to it wide out here, playing off Travis Kelce. So despite not having Kareem Hunt in there, got used to that a little bit with Damian Williams at the end of last season, Hill having suspension, I think you look overall that Watkins is going to see an uptick in targets naturally, and it's a high upside passing offense. It's, again, a tough schedule, but I think Watkins, I know some people are afraid about his durability history and production, but the things would line up for him to be very good here. Mecole Hardman, a lot of people are all over the rookie from Georgia, but I think it would be Watkins being more trusted here with Hill out of the lineup indefinitely. Julian Edelman just got a contract extension. Again, the other Patriots wide receiver went there early. N'Keal Harry in round three. Well, I'd rather have Julian Edelman down here to start with the Patriots. He's going to be indispensable in their pass game. He's making the big money there. And coming off the Super Bowl MVP, the volume alone in PPR, definitely Julian Edelman is an absolute steal here in round five. I think he's going to have a big year, fully healthy, play off that Super Bowl, be trusted even more, vacated targets there for sure all around. When you look at Chris Hogan gone, Rob Gronkowski gone, Cordarrelle Patterson, those touches, Edelman is going to get the ball all over the field, and a guy like Harry is only going to help Edelman get open off it. Now, Tyler Lockett, big upside guy, vacated targets there with Doug Baldwin. We have DK Metcalf, the rookie, stepping in to get some of those, but Tyler Lockett, uptick here, uptick player like Kenny Golladay that I'm looking to. And to me, Sammy Watkins, you go down the line with the targets that are available, but when you look at Golladay and Lockett, there's a little bit more buzz there. The next pick here, as we get into the fourth to last pick in round five, is Terry Cohen. And we'll talk about this in combination with the guy that went at the end of this round, David Montgomery. And I'm going to be advocating now to take David Montgomery ahead of Cohen in all these drafts. Get it, Cohen was the guy that they trusted most, but they moved Jordan Howard. They went and drafted David Montgomery. David Montgomery's more in line with the kind of back that Matt Nagy wants. There's that Kareem Hunt comparison that people have been pumping up, and I've been talking about it as well, as a guy that they can keep on the field for three downs. Cohen is meant to be more of a gadget player, and Montgomery is a guy that can touch the ball in early downs, also be a receiver and finish some drives better for the Bears. So they weren't happy the way Howard was because he's a little bit one-dimensional, just a power back, but Montgomery gives them that opportunity here, and Montgomery over Cohen, I think, is an easy decision for me here. Alshon Jeffrey, a guy that I'm going to throw him with the next guy that was taken, Allen Robinson, here at the 58-59 overall on the board. When you look at Alshon Jeffrey and Allen Robinson, Jeffrey, the injuries are a little concerned. DeSean Jackson's in the mix. Maybe a little Dallas Goedert in there. Nelson Agholor is still hanging around. So I do like Jeffrey in that spot with Carson Wentz. He has a better connection there where Nick Foles was a little bit into spreading the ball around a little bit. So that helps. But the durability age coming in factor for Jeffrey. Allen Robinson, as much as we talked about the Bears' offense, he's just not a guy that excites me as much. I know he's still young and he's still learning with Mitchell Trubisky, but I feel like the Bears' offense, when it diversifies, going the passing game, maybe a little bit more effective running with David Montgomery this year, he's going to spread the ball around a little bit more. Taylor Gabriel in the mix, Anthony Miller having a bigger role. So Jeffrey Robinson, not two guys I'm too as interested. That's, again, I'd rather go for upside players there, and there certainly were a lot of those in round six. So you had four more running backs off the board, no quarterbacks, which was interesting. I think the quarterbacks went, again, too early in this one. There were Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Andrew Luck early in that top tier. But there's going to be a gap here, probably rounds five, most of round six, into round seven, where the quarterback values are going to be good because no one's going to take one there. And again, tight end, there's that separation, the Mount Rushmore, so to speak, with George Kittle, Travis Kelce, O.J. Howard, and Zach Ertz, and then trying to figure out the rest, who's next in the pecking order behind those guys that we're looking for tight end. There's also that drop-off in tier there. So kind of interesting where there's four players at each position that create a big tier, then a gap before you take the next quarterback or tight end. That's what we're seeing so far. Now there's a lot more upside players to talk about in round six, but first we got to talk about sex, guys. That's right, good sex. Remember the days when you're ready to go? Well, there's a way to get that extra confidence in bed and increase your performance. It's simple. You just go to bluechew.com. that's right, Blue Chew, the first chewable with the same FDA approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Anytime, day or night, whenever you're ready, even on a full stomach. Because they're chewable, they work twice as fast as pills, so you can be ready whenever you're ready to go. And it's not just for guys who can't perform, it's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. So the best thing is Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships direct to your door discreetly, so no in-person doctor's visit, no pharmacy visits, and no awkwardness with that issue, and gives you more confidence in bed just knowing that. And Blue Chew is made in the USA, prepares and ships direct, making them cheaper than a pharmacy. And there's a better deal for you now, right now, as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when using the special promo code Locked On. All you do is pay that $5 shipping. Again, it's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On, try it for free, you'll just pay that $5 shipping. The better, cheaper, faster choice, that's Blue Chew, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to start looking at round six of my expert's consensus mock draft. All right, we got through round five here, so now we dive right into what happened in this mock draft on Fantasy Pros that I did in round six. And with this one, you have to start looking at upside. Again, is the name of the game in these middle rounds, and it's a place to get sleepers that everyone's kind of sleeping on, so to speak. So we go to Chris Godwin. This is a player that's going to keep climbing up boards as we hear more and more about him. I think people are looking at Mike Evans as being a clear number one there, but I think Godwin can really climb up there. And really, once we hear more about him in camp, he had a great year last year with limited targets. He's going to be more regular part of the offense, moving him all over the field. He essentially will be both the outside deep threat, playing off Evans, and a lot in the slot, like Larry Fitzgerald was used by Bruce Arians. So a lot of upside there with Chris Godwin. And round six is probably going to be the lowest you're going to see him go in these rounds. Now, Deshaun Watson, interesting quarterback, went here, but Watson has a strong argument that he should be in that top tier, maybe even ahead of Russell Wilson, because the running is a little bit more dynamic, a little younger, going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. The running game is not as good traditionally there in Houston. So all signs point to Deshaun Watson, especially with all his receivers healthy, maybe a little bit use of tight end, that Watson can easily outperform this. And he's a guy that has an appeal. We'll see how far he can go there, because some people have him as the second QB behind Patrick Mahomes, and there's definitely a case to be made for that. So I don't think you can sit back and get Watson in round six as a development that we're going to watch. Corey Davis, people aren't high on, I'm a little perceived with caution here. Still Mike Vrabel, still run heavy offense, still Marcus Mariota. They have some other guys there that can catch the ball now, and Adam Humphries and A.J. Brown. I think Mariota with Delanie Walker back could also hurt Corey Davis's target share there as well. So I'm a little careful with Corey Davis because the volume is not going to be there. Well, the next guy that was taken is Jarvis Landry, and you know with Jarvis Landry there that he's going to get the volume there with the Browns, and that's what the development is happening there. And it's easier to trust someone who's going to touch the ball, especially in PPR. So Landry has a lot of appeal in PPR. Actually, that could boost him to go a little higher. I think he'll get back to more of his end of Dolphins career catch totals there, playing off Odell Beckham Jr. DJ Moore, again, file him under Chris Godwin. It's going to be a nice debate. Who do you take, Godwin or DJ Moore, if you had that opportunity for that high upside young receiver out of the NFC South? I might lean a little bit more towards Moore once we see more of him, so to speak, in camp here. So Godwin versus Moore is going to be an interesting draft debate as we go forward, because both of them are going to go around the same time as upside guys again. Godwin, Moore, two guys I'd rather have than Jeffrey and Robinson for sure there, and maybe even ahead of Brandon Cooks, who went two rounds earlier in round four. Now, Miles Sanders, a little bit high for him, the rookie for the Eagles. I know people are excited about what he can do there as the early down, but I'm not buying Sanders totally with Jordan Howard in the mix. He went ahead of Jordan Howard. I think it's going to be all committee. We've seen that from Doug Peterson. There's no reason to think that will totally change now with a rookie running back. Next is Kenyon Drake, and some people are just totally forgetting that the Dolphins exist and don't want to recognize their presence. But bottom line is you have this Patriots brain trust. They're going to trust Drake as much as possible as the lifeblood of their offense. They're starting to trust more people than that's been the early reports from the Dolphins camp with their new offensive coordinator. O'Shea comes from New England. So when you look at that, Drake gets a second lease here. He's still very productive. It came in as an RB1 on the back end last year. So that was with the coach and Adam Gase. You didn't trust him as much. So Drake, again, a guy we'll be watching. But, again, he has a lot more appeal to me than a lot of these RB2s that were taken there in round four, just because we know what he can do if he gets enough opportunities. Tyler Boyd is next. And Tyler Boyd's solid. I don't think you're going to get any value from him. Last year he was undrafted. You got him as a free agent. They're going to have to pay up quite a bit to get him as a wide receiver too. Again, it's a new offense. I think it's going to be a little bit more wide open and maybe worth it for Tyler Boyd. But, again, keep in mind he's a slot guy versus a Moore and Godwin. And Moore and Godwin have more upside as that potential co or number one even options on their team. Calvin Ridley, good flash there, but once Julio Jones got going there in the second half of the season, Calvin Ridley cooled off. We know he had a few monster games. The consistency is what I worried about. That's about it. With Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, everything else is fine there for Ridley otherwise. Robbie Anderson, again, I want to look more into this Jets offense with Adam Gase. I'm not sure how he's going to look at things with new things there. So Boyd and Ridley being in similar situations, I would go, when you look across the board with Anderson, Ridley, Boyd, all in different offenses, but I think Boyd has the best defined role, while Ridley has got in a good situation as the number two. Robbie Anderson, again, big playability, but I'm just not going to be comfortable reaching high for a Jets receiver. I am going to feel comfortable reaching for Mike Williams because I know Hunter Henry is there to pick up the vacated targets of Antonio Brown and help with Tyrell Williams, but Mike Williams did score 11 touchdowns last year. He was a machine, lit up the Chiefs in one game. He's fully healthy. Once he got going, he looked better even than Keenan Allen. So, again, do I take Keenan Allen earlier or Mike Williams a little later? The answer is going to be 100% Mike Williams. And the next guy there was the Lamar Miller running back in. Lamar Miller just doesn't have any upside to me with Dont'a Foreman behind him and just not a very good running game overall. So upside, if you're going to have that word drilled home to you, that's how you look at it there. Now, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Grip 6, where their goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, and even moms and wives. Yes, they do have a great women's collection as well. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and carries a low profile with the buckle laying flat against the waist, making the belt super comfortable. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, no bulk. And check out the special offer for Grip 6 at grip6.com/lock. Now, let's look here at the next round as we get into round 7. And Tevin Coleman, now Tevin Coleman, this is tricky because we heard in OTAs that Matt Breida just got banged up again. Surprise, surprise. So this is one body out of the mix. But Jerick McKinnon, coming off the big injury last year, is still around. They also have Jalen Hurd, who's looking at wide receiver running back hybrid there in the mix. So we'll have to watch this backfield there. But so far, Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert still backed up and that or banged up. So that really helps Coleman in his trajectory there. And so does the contract with his new team. They clearly see him as a worthy investment, even after spending on Jerick McKinnon. So Coleman sitting in a good driver's seat. But again, I think this is about right for him right now. I think I would maybe look at him in round 6 or maybe at the end of round 5. I think he could climb up there pretty easily once we have a little bit more clarity on the situation now. Tight end run began again in round 7. His team started to fill out that position. You had Eric Ebron there, Evan Ingram, now, and David Njoku. We'll talk about these three picks that came basically on the road with Will Fuller before Njoku. I look at this, Njoku is still a little bit of worries because he wasn't used as much, even with Freddie Kitchens there. Eric Ebron, very touchdown dependent, and if you took away those, that touchdown regression to the mean is going to really hurt his production, especially with Jack Doyle looking healthy and returning. So no interest in as much as Ebron and Njoku even this high. I think Evan Ingram is the appeal there as now he's the third guy behind Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard, and figure Ingram can have just an impact of Tate picking up the vacated targets as Odell Beckham Jr. So that's how I look at it there. And Hunter Henry was also taken at the end of this round 7. Hunter Henry, I remember he was on to do some big things before he got hurt last year. So Henry and Ingram, take those, stay away from Ebron Njoku for now until we get an indication that Njoku is going to be used a little bit more. But the Colts also have some more options with Devin Funchess and Paris Campbell there. The Browns certainly have a lot more options with Jarvis Landry in the mix there for them. Now Will Fuller, remember, he was a machine too. A lot of it was touchdown dependent. He scored consistently. He does have the hamstring issues. I'd rather go for Kiki Coutee, to be honest, in the slot later. If they're both healthy, that's a good value pick there. Now, Kenny Stills, that seemed like a little bit of a default pick here in round 7, filling it out, but not interested necessarily in Stills. I might take a flyer on Devontae Parker, who's looked pretty good later. We have to see who Ryan Fitzpatrick connects most with, and then we have to see who Josh Rosen connects with. So right now I'm not going to commit to anything on the Dolphins. DK Metcalf, too little too high for me for Seattle. Rookie upside, but Tyler Lockett's the man there as a run-heavy offense. Marvin Jones, again, a trio of guys that I might stay away from more. So, again, if you have the chance to get the upside players, and we'll talk a little bit more about them later, I think you'd go for them instead of settling for this as a your last starter at these particular positions. Now, James White, we started flex here. Not a bad flex, but still a little early to me when there's some backs out there that can touch the ball a little bit more. But and James White has to pick up some targets as well there. And I think he'll be in the mix a little bit more, but I think only PPR can you look at him as early as this. Now, Drew Brees is the next quarterback that we had taken here after Watson. I think Breeze is a little high. Breeze, there are some diminishing returns there. He does get Jared Cook to pump up his touchdown value, but I'd proceed with caution with Drew Breeze and Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan goes in the right spot, and we'll talk about him in round 8. And I'd more pivot to Baker Mayfield, the last pick here in this round at number 84. That's who I really like, creeping into that top 6, matching his jersey number here. So Breeze, I think, is more around 9, where his jersey number is. Well, Matt Ryan's not close to a 2 quite yet here, even though he's coming off a big year. It's all about what's going forward, and Matt Ryan adjusting to no offense. Drew Brees on a team with a good running game and defense. We know that can resemble as well. The Browns, still a defensive work in progress and a ton of weapons there with Mayfield. So Mayfield and Deshaun Watson might be a good debate developing here as a high-end QB1. Untuckett is also on board here with Locked On Fantasy Football. Ever wonder why your father's buttons-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuckett comes in. Untuckett is a solution that fits just right. Go to untuckett.com, use the promo code NBA to get 20% off there. And make sure, as you're downloading the shows on the Locked On Network, you're doing it with the Himalaya app. It's the best app you can use to download your podcasts and expanding podcast world. You need Himalaya with their personally created playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Football, which you can listen to anywhere, especially Ticket to Go with you in the car, as well as using your smart speaker to listen at home. We'll be right back here to break and down the 8th round here to close the show as I continue looking at my experts' mock draft. All right, let's close here as we start. And this was a running back heavy round here in round 8 as we get to the halfway point roughly of the draft to really get to round 9 to do that. But here we are at round 8, kind of finishing out the roster when you have flex play as well as the if you count it up with the quarterback and 3 wide receivers, that's 4. 2 running backs is 6. A flex and a tight end makes 8. So technically you could have a whole starting lineup here. But again, don't lock into that and think about getting values constantly, because you want league winners and not guys that you're going to plug in into holes and hope for the best here. Now, Jordan Howard was taken here, and again, Jordan Howard, I think, should go ahead of Miles Sanders. I'm not thrilled about either because the committee approach there in Philadelphia. Latavius Murray is interesting because he steps in the Mark Ingram role directly in New Orleans, and we know that was very productive. Jerick McKinnon, I'm staying away from until I need to see him a little bit healthier here. No, Matt Ryan was taken. I get it. There's some downtick for Matt Ryan, especially when you look at other quarterbacks that are on the rise. But you also look at this situation is that this is also a value situation where, yeah, if someone else is enamored with Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson, let them go up there and get him. Just settle for the value. You're not going to have too much of a drop-off here if you wait till round 8 or 9, given some of the values here. Matt Ryan is probably going to be underlooked even with the production from last year. So that's a good value here in round 8. Royce Freeman a little high, but I understand the logic here. Phil Lindsay coming off a big injury there. And different coaching staff may want to power run the ball to play a defense, complement that. So Royce Freeman could have some certain appeal, and we'll have to watch how his role develops here with the new coaching staff. LeSean McCoy, hey, he's a starting back for a team. And at this point, the Bills are treating him the other way. And the only concern is you have Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon and others there. So when are the wheels going to come off totally? I think I totally avoid McCoy and maybe look for a Bills flyer back later in the draft. Peyton Barber, I think I would proceed with caution here as well. I mean, it seems like, oh, the Bucs want to run the ball. Here's no Bucs running back being drafted. So it's going to be Barber. I think it's going to pivot more to Ronald Jones again with the new coaching staff with Arians. I think Jones has a little bit more skill that they can use there. So Barber, I'm cooling off of for sure. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Cam Newton go back-to-back. And yeah, Jameis Winston one pick after that with Christian Kirk. There's the penultimate pick in round 8. You're looking at Wentz and Goff. Again,
this is always a good debate. The 1-2 picks, Goff, Wentz in that same draft in 2016. I think there's the Wentz, as long as he's healthy, I'm going Wentz all the time on this one in fantasy, because overall, Wentz has more weapons. They spread it around a lot. Wentz can do a little bit more if he needs to running. And he's just a better player to me than Jared Goff. So when you look at that overall, that Wentz, again, if healthy, of all things considered, I think he can rebound better. Well, I think Goff might have hit a ceiling, while Wentz could return back to the upside he showed a couple years ago as an MVP candidate, now fully healthy without Nick Foles behind him. Cam Newton, again, upside with him and Jameis Winston, because the ball of a downfield throwing, if you consider DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel on one side with Christian McCaffrey, and then the other side thinking about what the guys can do with Winston and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard. The weapons, if they're going to produce, then someone's got to throw it to them and get that those numbers. So Newton definitely has a little bit uptick over Winston if you're going to go there for a rebound, because of the running and the potential to get a few yards and scores for you that way, where Winston can wiggle a little bit, but he's not going to give you that traditionally. So Newton-Winston's going to be a good debate. I think Winston is going to exceed some expectations here, but as we go through the next four rounds in the next show, we'll see that there's a lot more value there as well. So quarterback is that wait-and-see approach, and I think you jump on one or two guys that you really like a little later instead of falling in line with the early picks there. And Christian Kirk, we'll mention him. This was an interesting pick, but I think he has a lot of upside here in the offense. It's wide open. I think he's kind of the forgotten man because they have Larry Fitzgerald, who knows the future Hall of Famer here. They got Chad Williams in a battle with Hakeem Butler and Andy Isabella and Keyshawn Johnson, all the guys they got in the draft. But Christian Kirk really showed a lot of juice last year. And he was going to miss Josh Rosen a little bit because there was a natural connection there. But overall, Kirk is the type of receiver in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury that could be the fulcrum of what they want to do. And everyone else kind of trickles down off his talent. So Christian Kirk, another young receiver I'm excited by. And again, him and DJ Moore, big things here in year two could be coming, and you can't forget that at all. So, again, great to talk about mock drafts this early. It doesn't matter that it's May. We're into it, so we're about halfway through. We got to get through the second half of my Experts Mock Draft. We'll do that on the next two show. Thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Football on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And remember, when you're driving around your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On Fantasy Football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time with look at part 3 of the Experts Mock Draft.